Good afternoon. Welcome to Vine Grove Baptist Church Good Friday service for 2017. We're glad that you've came today, and we hope that you've come to worship with us in spirit and in truth. As we did on our Wednesday evening service, we're going to kick it back old school. Everybody grab a hymnal. That's that great book in front of you, in case you're wondering what a hymnal was. We haven't used them for so long. And turn to page 141 in your hymnals, The Old Rugged Cross. And let's please stand as we sing.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross with the dearest and best, for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Just you all sing. Here we go.
In that old...
Lift your voice to the Lord. Let's just do just voices now.
To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen. Give the Lord glory and praise today for that old rugged cross. He did not spare his own son, but he sacrificed him so that we who believe in his son may live. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great sacrifice that you provided for us, Lord. Father, it's so surprising that you would love us so much that instead of starting over or just letting us die, that you want us to be with you and that in place you put your son. Lord, there's not words that can describe that. And yet, Father, we're here today to worship you. We're here today, Father, to give you thanks. We're here today, Father, to adore you and to say thank you. Lord, as we continue in this service today, we ask that you touch our hearts with your love and your fire, Father. Help us to be the people that you've created us to be, and help us to be faithful in proclaiming Jesus lives and that you love. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We have one more hymn we're going to sing, and if you turn to page 146 in your hymnals, 146, Oh, How He Loves You and Me, we're going to sing the first verse, the second verse, and then we're going to repeat the first verse again. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Jesus to Calvary did go. His love for mankind to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Amen. Brother Larry, would you please come?
Thank you, Good Friday is a period of time when each Christian comes to give praise to God for such a gift. Jesus Christ lives. We know that because as Christians, he lives within us. He talks to us. We talk back. He hears us. But not as often do we listen to him. But to honor his holy name and what took place some 2,000 years ago at Calvary, I will be reading the story on his way to the cross. From that, we will end up with a beginning. Going to end with the Lord's Supper, remembering this, do in remembrance of me. It is our great blessing and an honor that God will even allow us to use his name and let us live. But such an honor to give praise to his son. The final hours of Jesus' human life, between 6 and 9 a.m., Roman soldiers mocked Jesus. Matthew 27, verses 27 through 30. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and pulled a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. Jesus now was on his way to the cross. Mark 15, verse 20. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Women were weeping by the roadside. Luke 23, 27, and 28. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." These were the very individuals that were ready to honor him. They just knew that Jesus was going to fight against the Roman Empire and deliver them from the hands of the Romans. But Jesus knew what was coming. He knew that what was about to happen to him, their children would have to deal with throughout their whole existence. Simon of Cyrene was commanded to bear his cross. As I spoke the other day, to remind you, every step Jesus took, every situation Jesus was in, was a lesson for you and me. He let each one of us know that no, you cannot bear your own cross alone. As a human being, you will fall under the weight of the cross. Because you see, Jesus had instituted his body, the church. That's us. Jesus had given to each of us the responsibility for one another. Bear the cross with a fellow Christian. Help them stand. And if two cannot stand under it, then three, then four. However many it takes, because Jesus said, "I am going to leave my spirit in you, but physically I'm leaving. I'm going to sit at the right hand of my Father, and you will always be in my prayers to my Father." Matthew 27:32. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Actually, that word there, they threatened him. Compelling was a little shy of exactly how that took place. But I want you to think of this. How many of us are just as reluctant to help someone else bear their cross? After all, as we said, we've got enough problems of our own. But Jesus says, "Bear ye one another's cross." at 9 a.m. Friday, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was crucified at Golgotha. From 9 a.m. to 12 noon, Jesus made three statements from the cross. Luke 23:34. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. Luke 23:43, his second statement. And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly," this is to the criminal or the one on the cross beside him. And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." He was a believer. He was stuck on his cross for his sins, for his crime. But he looked at Jesus as his deliverer. And he said, "Surely, today, you will be with me in paradise." As folks try to figure out where that is or was, don't worry about it. Get excited that today you will be with Jesus in paradise. Do you really think when we get there we're going to care about where it is, up, sideways, or anywhere else? John 19:26-27. Says Jesus looking at his mother, Mary. "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home." Yes, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did have half-brothers, half-sisters. Yes, the Scripture says so. So the question would be, from so many, why then did Jesus tell John the Beloved that from that time forward he was to take care of his mother, that he would take Jesus' place as his son, as her son? Interestingly enough, his brothers, his family, didn't believe who he really was yet. They had not been what we call saved yet. But they were watching. I don't know if they had heard such statements. I'm sure they would have said, like many others did, "He is a man that is out of his mind." At 12 noon, darkness fell upon the whole land. Mark 15:33. "Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." It was during this period that Jesus made his final four statements from the cross. Mark 15:34. "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice." Pay attention to that. All this time he's been hanging on a cross and can barely get his breath. Beaten to an almost, well, he was unrecognizable. And yet, at the ninth hour, he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? John 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. The water of his well would never run dry. He had to get a good drink of water from the Father who was ready to deliver him. Think of that. Luke 23:46. Luke 19:30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, real compassionate, weren't they? Some said it was for medicinal purposes. No, it wasn't. Okay. He said, it is finished. Had the human race given him the bitter taste that if he did not complete his sacrificial death, that all those around him would have no chance? It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Now listen to Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, Luke is telling it as John the Beloved was telling it. But Luke says, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Jesus said, no man can take it from me. My Father gave me my life. I will lay it down freely for those that follow me, those who love me. I do truly love them. Listen to the phenomenon accompanying the death of Christ. Matthew 27:51-55. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Just like God's hand right there on it, huh? And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. I'd get their attention, wouldn't it? Give mine. Were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, only after Jesus' resurrection. They went into the holy city and they appeared to many. Josephus, Philo, the historians, wrote of these people that they knew had been dead. Well, we could have very easily known people that were at the graveside or whatever. And they walked, lived again. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. The Roman centurions? It's got to be right. And yet, the religious leaders turned and walked away from him. verse 55. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, they were there, looking on from afar. The women. The disciples had taken off except for John. The ones who had ministered to him, they were there to watch him. At approximately 3 p.m. on Friday afternoon, Jesus was pronounced dead on the cross. His body was taken down from the cross and buried in a borrowed tomb. Matthew 27:57-60. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it. I need to make something clear to you on this. Let me read verse 59 again. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth. He wrapped it. It didn't say that he wrapped Jesus. He wrapped it, the body. He wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, verse 60, and he laid it, knowing that Jesus was still alive, yet the vehicle, the human body that he had died on that cross. Matthew paid close attention to the details. It. The it became once again the who. Jesus re-entered his body. Well, and he laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewed out of the rock, Joseph's tomb. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. But they forgot something. It was only Friday. Jesus would be back.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's asleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday's a coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scar. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. And his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My King yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
What a blessing. Oh, and in case you forgot, which you all haven't, he's coming back again also. You see, that's not the end of the story of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. After all, it is only Friday, and Sunday is a coming. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We give praise to you, Heavenly Father, for the great love of sending your Son. We praise you, Heavenly Father, through your great wisdom, love, mercy, and grace that you've allowed us to be called your children. Help us now, Father, as we honor our Savior, your Son, bringing glory to you, Father, through all that is done. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.